Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou didst send Him into the world to seek and to save the lost. And such were we. And in kindness and mercy He sought us and found us and brought us to Thyself. We thank Thee for it. Our Father, we pray Thy blessing upon our hearts as we now study Thy Word and as we think on these things. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. Our study today will go along in the book of Matthew to the latter part of the fourth chapter. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. And here we have a description from verse 12 to the end of the chapter of the preaching of Jesus of Nazareth. You'll remember that the book of Matthew opens with John preaching. And John was a great preacher. And now we find that the Lord Jesus began to preach and began to preach just the same message that John was preaching at that time. Let us see how we read it here. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 reads, Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. And so on. I remember when I first read that, I used to think that it meant that when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, that he felt that persecution was arising and he should get out of there. But, of course, I didn't have my places right. I didn't have my geography straight. What you actually have in mind is that when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he came right over into that community. He came right over into that territory and began preaching himself. Leaving Nazareth, which was his home, he came to Galilee and into Capernaum, where he began to preach. And then it says there about his preaching, it quotes a passage from the Old Testament, The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And that was the comment, the quotation from the Old Testament concerning the preaching that the Lord Jesus did. Now in verse 17, we find out what his preaching was. This is what we read. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The moment you hear that, you say, well, that's what we've just been hearing, and it is. That's the message of John the Baptist that the Lord Jesus is preaching. Put it this way. This is the important thing. This is the message as you are introduced to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the sort of thing to think about when you get ready to become a Christian. This is cleaning out the house when you're going to have some guests come in. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we have previously considered the meaning of the word repentance, but let us just recall now that the word repent means, in effect, take a new look at yourselves and see your own need. Look in your own hearts and feel and understand how unfit you are. Repent, judge yourselves in the sight of God as in yourselves being unworthy, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what's the significance of that statement? Why put that in there? Well, let's have it like this. The kingdom of heaven is the name that was given to an idea of a certain blessing that God would share with men. It's the blessing that comes when God is in your life controlling it, when God rules in your heart, where God rules and directs in your affairs. You're in the kingdom of God. God is king in your soul. Now, when he says here, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, anything that's at hand means you can just reach out and take it. It's right here, handy, ready for you. When he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's meaning to say everything is arranged. Things are all in order, and you could now have this thing, which is a way of saying in his preaching, repent, consider your need, think and feel about what is you actually need, and have this in mind, you could have from God the help that comes from the kingdom of God. That is to say, God himself working in your soul. This is what John the Baptist had been preaching, and this is now what the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching as he is going along. And now we see that following this, we have him calling several persons to follow him. In verses 18 to 20, we have the call of Simon Peter and Andrew. And we read, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. Perhaps it would be a good thing for us to just stop and ask ourselves this sort of thing. Would this be the first time he talked to them? Would it mean that the Lord Jesus would go down by the seashore and seeing two fishermen would call them and say, Follow me, and they would immediately leave everything and follow him? Does that sound natural to you? If it were some unusual, strange person, but even so, what would cause two men to leave their business? Let me suggest this to you, and it is borne out by other passages of Scripture elsewhere. This does not mean it's the first time the Lord Jesus talked to them. It doesn't mean it's the first time they heard him. You can have in mind that all the time he was preaching, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that these could very well have been men who were in the company listening. And I'm not real sure that Peter and John and that, Peter and Andrew, I'm not sure that these fellows didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, he lived in that community. He was in and out among those people. His parents were regular worshipers at the temple. It's quite conceivable that as young men, those folks knew each other. Certainly they knew John the Baptist, and they'd hear him. He was a great preacher, and Jesus of Nazareth was his cousin. I'm not making anything great about that. All I mean to say to you is that if the first time you hear the gospel, you do not happen to have a sense of call, so that the very first time you hear the preacher preach, you feel like you've got to leave everything you're doing and follow him, doesn't mean that it hasn't been real. That such a situation would be very normal. After you have heard, as you are hearing, and you've had time to think, and you've had time to study, and you've had time to watch, it grows on you. It could very well be that after some months of teaching, even years of teaching and preaching, suddenly you realize that this is what God wants you to do. What I want to bring out in this passage in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 to 20, this call of Peter and Andrew, his brother, does not need to mean that this was the first time that they heard Jesus of Nazareth. It just means to say that when the message of Jesus of Nazareth came through to them and they realized what it meant, there was upon them this mission, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. But this come immediately, I think. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. When once the sense of call came, they didn't hesitate to move after him. This also brings to our minds something else that we should notice, and it happens to be true over and over and over again. And that is that when you and I hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and we're asked to let him come into our hearts aren't empty. They're full of other things. When the Lord Jesus asked us to come with him, we're not free. We were going to go somewhere else. When he puts something in our hands and wants us to use that and work with that thing, we can't do it. Our hands are full. You see, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the human being who is already living and who is already involved in this world. And it is coming to be received, and it is to be received as a substitute for what you have. These two people, Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, were busy men. They were fishermen. They were making their living by their fishing business. The Lord Jesus says, Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's interrupting them. That's calling them away from something that they're doing. I emphasize this because the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ calls me over to him, away from things I was personally interested in. Now, verses 21 and 22 is practically the same sort of thing with reference to James and John. Going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Again, let me suggest to you that while they may have known the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not know how long, they may have known him before this, there came a day, there came a time, when the sense of call was immediate and urgent, and they rose up from what they were doing, left what they were doing, and followed him. Now, that's done in a crisis. That's done right then at that time. But it could very well have a build-up in the course of experiences as it went along. This, we have now the record of the call of these four men, two sets of brothers. Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, and then James and John, his brother. This made four. There were others called, but this gives us the principle of the thing. And the principle that we are to see, the thing that we are to notice is, they're called away from what they're doing into a life in which God will tell them what to do. And now when we turn to verses 23 to 25, we get a simple thumbnail sketch of what the Lord Jesus Christ himself was doing. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Those three things are involved in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching in their synagogues. Now, you will keep in mind, with reference to the synagogue, that what you have there is the teaching of the Old Testament. And what does teaching in their synagogues mean? Taking the Old Testament scriptures and showing the meaning of them, which leads up to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching in their synagogues starts in with the revelation of God which they have, and shows them its meaning, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I suppose that the general difference between preaching and teaching is that in teaching you show what the truth is, in preaching you urge a man to do it, and you give him reasons for doing what God wants him to do. Preaching has in it more of a push and a pull. The preacher actually wants you to do something about it. The teacher wants you to understand something. And he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Because as they would come to know the gospel and yield themselves to him, what was wrong with them would be cleared up. Our God and Heavenly Father, may the work of the Lord Jesus Christ be done in our heart. Incline us toward thee. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.